We're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. That's our 16 verses for the 16th day of this month. I'm so glad that Joseph said that I have a devotion tonight, because that's what I intend on giving. I'm going to explain that a little bit. I'm not going to read these verses and pick them apart and give you a whole lot of application. I'm going to share with you how the Lord talks to me, Mr. Rabbit Trail. I hope not to be doing a whole lot of that tonight because I'm in front of you. But I think of a lot of things. I've known for several weeks, I don't know how long, that I had this opportunity tonight. And crazy things go through my head, like, that bunch of sheep going to push one of their sheep up there, and you lead them this time, you know. But really, we're children of God, and we have a shepherd, and it's not me. And he's the one that leads tonight. So I'm going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read verse 10 to start with before I pray and explain how the Holy Spirit talks to me during a message. So 1 Timothy 4:10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." And I'm going to stop there. My brain may see this verse and say, let's look up reproach. So I'm on my phone defining reproach. While Mr. Marks labored all week for the message that he's up there giving, I'm looking up reproach. And I'm like, you know what? It means disapproval. Yeah. My mom disapproved of me. My children disapprove of me. You know, random people that I don't know driving down the road disapprove of me. So I'm going to give you an example. A state trooper may come up behind me and turn on his lights and have a conversation with me about his disapproval. He may say, I saw you hit the rumble strip 3 times, and I wanted to just, you know, are you sober? Yes, sir. I've actually never had an alcoholic beverage in my life, sir. Well, I kind of thought that might be the case, because I could see your cell phone up at the top of your steering wheel was so bright that maybe it was blinding you, you know. Well, yes, sir, I understand. And you do, sir, realize that you should never drive 82 mile an hour on any highway in the state, right? Yes, sir, I do understand that. Well, next time, I'm going to give you these pieces of paper that will help encourage you to do better. And if you flip through them, you'll see that if you do choose to make any of these bad choices in the future, there's one in here that will encourage you to wear a seatbelt next time. So, that's my rabbit trail for tonight. I made all of that up, thankfully. But, you know, I just crack myself up sometimes, so I thought I'd write it down and share it with you. But to get back to how the Lord works, I may read reproach in a verse across the page from what's going on, and spend 3 or 4 weeks looking up things. And so tonight I have something to share with you out of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to go through all the verses, and the responsibility falls on you to listen to the Holy Spirit and what He has for you. And because I can stand up here and teach you nothing. And I know where that comes from. So I'm going to pray again, and then we're going to read down through chapter 4. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do realize that you're not even needing to speak through me tonight, Lord, but that your Holy Spirit indwells the Christians that are meeting together tonight, Lord, and that you speak to all of our hearts, Lord. And I just ask you tonight that you'll work in our hearts and lives. And Lord, as I look at these verses and my focus is on godliness, Lord, that you might prick all of our hearts and share at least a small portion of what you've given me in this. And we just ask for your help. and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. All right, so verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be a good example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gifts that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, and thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I do realize that this is a specific letter written by Paul to a specific younger person, Timothy. And the commentary I read said that he might have been 30 to 35 years old. I also am applying tonight 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I'm taking these verses when I'm reading them personally. As some of you might know, and others of you couldn't even guess by looking at me, I run. I get up. I'm usually in bed by 8:30, and I get up at 5 in the morning, and I'm usually on the road by 6, and sometimes run till 7:30 or after. So, personally, I love to make light of this verse in here that says, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, you know what? If that's the only part of the verse you remember, the scripture profiteth little as well. But I looked it up because I find it funny and giggle at times. So I'm going to go back in the beginning to verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. I didn't really realize what that meant, and I had to give it a whole lot of thought, and just thought I would share it with you. Bodily exercise profiteth little. That's because it's temporal. It's for right now. It's for however long I live. Not only that, if I don't run for 2 weeks, then I probably can't run half as far as I could 2 weeks prior. what it's telling me is part B of 7, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And then verse 8 says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. So godliness is now my goal. Godliness will help me while I'm healthy and fit. And godliness apparently will follow me into all eternity. Godliness is a goal worth shooting for. Paul was telling Timothy this. The Holy Spirit was telling Scott this. And so I want to share a little bit about what we've been going through in youth group. I may not get to read the whole scripture because I talk a lot. We've been talking about what you believe and why. And at creation, something very significant to me was that man was holy and the basic inclination of his nature was towards God when we were created. So we weren't neutral. We had a basic inclination towards God. Though we were capable of being tempted, he was neither compelled nor impelled to sin. Man had no original inward tendency towards sin. And at camp, we specifically talked a little bit about Eve conversing with a serpent. So in today's society, when scientists would like for us to believe that we have ascended to the point we're at today, Romans chapter 1 clearly shows a descent. Man has continually gone downhill. We went from this perfect relationship with God to a point where there's a word used called total depravity. And that doesn't mean that we're as bad as we can possibly be. It would more mean, at least in my mind, like a spider web is cast over me. And that I no longer have the ability to continually have righteous thoughts. Adam was here, and he could continually be in fellowship with the Lord. He was inclined to do the right thing naturally. And I now have a sin nature, and it curves my thoughts, and it changes my behavior, and it changes my motives. And I wish I had 45 minutes. So I'm going to skip very much and go to verse 10. Verse 10 is important to me. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. I was reading this thinking, well, this was Paul talking to Timothy. And I don't suffer reproach. So what do I have to do? Define reproach. And then I'm like, you know what? The Bible tells me to die to self. So if I'm doing something that feels like, you know, this is living, if I'm on vacation or whatever I'm doing and it feels good, that's probably hindering my relationship with the Lord. And if I'm denying self and the things that feel like, you can't trust your feelings. The things that feel like are the greatest things. If I deny those things now, then my fellowship with the Lord seems to grow. So I now understand more through, I guess, meditation on these verses, what dying to self is. And so, because it is 8:30, I'll just share with you that I have gained a lot from reading these scriptures and studying. And if I would ask something from you, it might be for you to do the same. But to pray for me that I would be able to continue to seek to be more godly, because that is something that God wants me to be. And godliness or holiness or, you know, if I'll just read one more verse, y'all will forgive me. It was in the very beginning. Yeah, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What I pictured here with your conscience seared with a hot iron was I pictured my own heart and the lack of sensitivity I have to crude jokes at work. And the things that God hates, I find somewhat acceptable. And in this life and in this society, we're taught more and more things. And we cannot let our hearts be seared with a hot iron. You know, we can't be calloused and numb. We need to be sensitive to these things. And it doesn't come lightly. This river that leads to godliness doesn't naturally flow that way. It goes back to the verse of exercise yourself towards godliness. We're going to have to row. We're going to have to exercise. It's not what we naturally go to with that spider web of the sin nature on us. So I just wanted to share that with you tonight. Again, I leave the responsibility of what you glean from it in your own hands. But thank you for your time. Oh, yeah. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do again thank you for what you're working in my heart, Lord. And I just pray that you will help me to be more like Paul asked Timothy to be excited about what I'm teaching and protect my own heart first and then stay in your word and share it with others, Lord. And that through being in your word, I might first save myself from these hypocrisies and being numb by the world, Lord, and then by sharing it, maybe I can help save others through your Holy Spirit working in their hearts, Lord. We just ask for your blessing on everyone in this room, Lord. I just know that we didn't spend as much time praying as we ought to, but Lord, I ask for your answers to these prayers as I know you have asked us to boldly come before you, and all of it is well above your abilities, and we can't even understand the beginning from the end and how easy it is for you, Lord. But we do know that you answer prayer, and we thank you for it. And we just thank you for this meeting here in Shannon Hills, and we do not leave off not talking to you, but we dismiss knowing that we'll continue in fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.